If you like, I'm going to be in Isaiah chapter 2 for a few moments this morning. Again, we are just thankful to God that he allowed us to come and to be with each other. Thankful for the body of Christ, the family of God at Reynoldsburg. Isaiah chapter 2. Starting at verse 1, I'll read the first 5 verses. And you should know this, that literally thousands of speakers will be reading this text today, as this is a text from what we call the Revised Common Lectionary. Isaiah chapter 2, starting at verse 1, says, "This is what Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths.' The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord." Let's pray. Holy God, we are so thankful to be in your presence and for you to be in our presence. God, we celebrate this holy communion that we have with you and with one another. We are thankful for so many things. And Father, I suspect that as we ate meals on Thursday or just spent time with the people we love, we shared reasons to be thankful. And Father, I don't know if this made the dinner table, but I'm thankful to be a part of this church. God, I'm thankful that we are seeing your authorship of our narrative. We see you working in so many ways. We see you showing us so many things. And God, we're thankful. Father, as we pursue this journey over the next month, I'm praying that we would see you in new ways, that you would reveal yourself to us in new ways. Father, give us new reasons to sing new songs. God, we place our lives in you. We place our trust in you. We place our hope in you. We get our strength from you. And go out, and God, simply put, we love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, church, for the rest of this year, we are traveling intentionally down a road that we call Advent. Now there's many reasons why I have invited us to do this for the past several years. We don't necessarily follow what's called the church calendar. For those of you unfamiliar, there is such a thing called the church calendar that follows the church year or the Christian year or the liturgical year. It starts 4 Sundays before Christmas, usually at the end of November, beginning of December, and goes through the entire year until the next cycle. This has been done for centuries, yet only a few Christian traditions follow the church year. Now most of us are familiar with some of the events on the church calendar, Easter and Christmas. Those are the two most prominent. But if you follow the church calendar, you come from a liturgical background, I know that some of you do, you will be familiar with terms like Epiphany and Ascension Sunday and Ordinary Time and the Pentecost. Those are all dates on the church calendar. This is Advent, which has typically been associated with Christmas, but Advent season is actually different from Christmas season. Christmas season starts on December 25th and ends on January 6th. That's why we sing the song, The 12 Days of Christmas, because it has its own season. Now, what I just shared with you is just the tradition in the Western Church, because if you go to the Eastern Church, Orthodox traditions, they have a different calendar. They celebrate Easter on different days than we do. Now, that is a brief and probably horribly inadequate history of the church calendar. And so I would encourage you, if you have some free time, go online and just Google the church calendar and read about the rich history behind the church calendar. And if you need some help being directed to some resources, I can do that for you as well. Now, I bring up this brief history to really just highlight the richness of the tradition of which we are cognizant of, but don't necessarily follow religiously. Now, I do see great value of at least being aware of the reasons that people follow the liturgical year, because usually we are met with a lot of misinformation about liturgy and the liturgical year. But one of the biggest reasons why church traditions centuries and centuries ago began to follow the church calendar was because it was a way to communicate to the church that we are a different people and we are not oriented by the world's timing, but by the events and the movement of God's timing. As such, reorient our movements and lifestyles and language and observances through the prompting of God. And that's why we follow the church calendar, or at least have some sense of it in our lives. Church, we consider the season of Advent as a prompt, and this has been my cry for the past several years, that the season of Advent is our prompt to slow down. There is a reason that this season becomes so stressful for so many people, because it's just so fast and it's so active and there's just so many things to do and there's just so much shopping to get done and there's so much preparations to get done and there's all this and there's putting lights up and there's putting a tree up and there's just so much, and I don't want to discourage any of that. All that stuff is good. But while we do that, we have to be aware that our bodies have not been made to just go and go and go and go and go and go and go. We need to slow down. Advent simply means waiting. It's a season of waiting. It is a season where our collective consciousness is aroused around the thought of the second coming of Christ. The season of Advent juxtaposes the season of waiting prior to the arrival of the Messiah at the birth of Jesus and his eventual return when God says it is time. And for many, this waiting has been amped up due to the times we live in. War, destruction, poverty, natural disasters, murder, and tragedy have been the conditions that will cause many a believer, many of us in this room, have simply uttered these words. It's a chorus, it's a chant. We'll say, Lord, come quickly. Just this morning, I woke up to an alert on my phone that there was a stabbing in Reynoldsburg, and one person was murdered and another one is injured. It causes you to just say, Lord, come quickly. Just last week in Chattanooga, Tennessee, we learned of the tragic bus accident where six elementary school kids were killed. And this accident comes after reportedly several complaints about the bus driver. This was a tragedy that some believe might have been prevented. And so I hear the chant of the people of God, "Lord, come quickly." Watching young babies like Beckham and Reed Stabens. Reed is one of the twin sons of a former Reynoldsburg youth group member. Her name was Stacia. And last week, Reed had some complications. He's had some difficulties ever since he's been born. And while in the hospital, he coded in the hospital and now is in a medically induced coma. Now the parents are strong in their faith, but I can't help but chant that familiar phrase. Oh Lord, come quickly and relieve these families of this tremendous pain and heartache. One of my closest friends, another former youth group member, Alex Carlier, is now serving as a captain in the U.S. Army. He's part of the supporting force, supporting the Iraqi forces in Iraq as they try to take Mosul back from ISIS. Several years ago, Alex gave me a coin that he received when he was at the airborne school, and he jumped out and they give him this coin. And as an act of friendship, he gave me this coin. And I often carry that coin in my pocket. And every time I reach in my pocket, which is a lot, I feel that coin. And I think about my dear friend in harm's way. And it's a reminder that war is real. It's a reminder that my kids, ever since they have been on this earth, have always known war. And so I begin to chant that familiar phrase, "Lord, come quickly." You are sitting in your seat this morning, reflecting or thinking about situations in this world that compels you to join in with me in that chorus, "Lord, come quickly." That feeling is a commonplace feeling embodied by millions of Christians right now as we take inventory of our lives. There is real struggle. Just over the Thanksgiving holiday, I was speaking with a family member, my brother-in-law. We're really close. We talk all the time. And so we were talking and reflecting on some things. I began to take inventory of my brother-in-law's life. Not quite 60. He'll be 60, I think, in December. He might be 60 in a couple weeks or next year. But here's a guy who in 1980, 81, in the city of Buffalo, we had a serial killer called the 22 caliber killer. I don't know if anyone ever heard of that guy, Joseph Christopher, and he targeted African Americans in Buffalo, on the east side of Buffalo. He killed several people, and one of the people that was murdered by the serial killer was my brother-in-law's cousin, a close cousin of his. 2 years later, he had three brothers. And one of his brothers was cutting down a tree on his property and was tragically killed by the tree. I think John Hess suffered a similar incident with your brother. 10 years later, in 1993, my brother-in-law and my sister were taking me to college in Rochester, New York, and they dropped me off. And when they got back, they received the news that his other brother was murdered. 20 years later, after his brother had been murdered, I think I stood before you one Sunday morning and shared with you that my brother-in-law's son was murdered. 10 months after he buried his son, the man who he honored and revered great in his life, his father, passed away. And just 2 weeks ago, his surviving brother, who for all of his adult life has spent time in prison. He had never spent a year outside of prison, a full year. In fact, this month would have been the first full year that his brother did not live inside of a prison cell. I say it would have been because 2 weeks ago his brother died unexpectedly of a heart attack. And I'm talking to my brother-in-law over Thanksgiving, and he's just kind of recounting all of these things. And I knew in isolation that all these things had kind of happened. But to hear him talk about all of them, it was enough for me to say, as we were walking in Walmart, we were talking, that I kind of whispered to myself, Lord, come quickly. Stop it, Dion. Stop telling these sad and stories. You know? Tell us about the manger and the nativity and the angels singing the hallelujah songs and tell us about the announcement of the angel to Mary. Let's sing Joy to the World again. It's Christmas season. What's your point, Dion, in bringing up all these sad stories? Why talk about tragedy and misfortune? Again, to speak of these unfortunate circumstances is to highlight the chorus of the saints. Lord, come quickly. But additionally, the seeming eroding of our world prompts me to have great concern for the souls of men and women. Why? We want men and women who do not know Jesus to come to Jesus, right? We want them to come and to have a relationship with Jesus. And so while we cry out, Lord, come quickly, we are also simultaneously praying for God's mercy and patience. We want them to come quickly, but we also kind of want them to wait because we want our loved ones, we want our friends, we want the world to come to Jesus. We are praying that people see and experience the salvation of the Lord. We are praying that the perpetrators of violence will put their weapons down. We are praying that they find a cure for cancer. I am praying that we discover new technologies that will detect prenatal issues earlier and allow us to fix problems before the birth. While surrounded by many circumstances to cause us to live in despair, or fear and gloom, at the same time that we live in the midst of these sad and misfortunate stories, we still live and choose hope. The prophet Isaiah is helpful to us in casting this vision of God. Isaiah 2, starting at verse 2 again. In the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised above the hills. All nations shall stream to it. Many peoples shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nation and shall arbitrate for many peoples. Listen, they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. See God's heart here. See that the prophet is speaking of a time when all people, regardless of background or nation, they will come to the Lord. And these people will cry out to God in worship. And these people will give him all of their worship. And these people hear and receive instruction from the Lord. And these people will walk in his ways. And these people will experience a new world order where swords for fighting are turned into tools for gardening. And these people no longer hunger for war and destruction. And see, even In the midst of these stories of sadness or misfortune, church, I believe that Advent 2016 is a time to be reminded that we are these people, that the people, and that there are more people to come. Church, I believe that Advent 2016 is a time to be reminded that we are these people, and now is the time to worship. Advent 2016, I believe, is a time that we accept that we are these people, and it's time that we live like we are these people, the people of God. Church, I believe that Advent 2016 is a time that we are reminded that as the people of God, we are not exempt from heartache or tragedy, the effects of war, the impact of sickness and disease, or the angst of living in a broken society. But as the people of God, when those who do not know God cast a vision of doom and gloom, we are a people who choose hope. Hope for a better society, hope for a better future, hope for a God wave to take hold of this world, hope for a wave of change enacted by God and His kingdom, hope for more justice, hope for transformation, hope for a stronger church, hope for a sold out generation of believers who do not succumb to fear and despair, but lives in a hope created by God, rooted in the resurrection of Jesus, and maintained by the Holy Spirit. I can tell you that my brother-in-law I spoke of above, in spite of some pretty scummy circumstances, still lives in hope. He continues to love and care for his wife and two children, which he better do because that's my sister. But he also continues to take care of his mother, who was battling dementia, who he had to go to 2 weeks ago and tell her that her youngest son had died of a heart attack, and she didn't even know who he was talking about. But he continues to care for his mother, not because he has a lot of resources, not because he has a lot of money, but because he loves his mother. And he has chosen hope. He's not dismissive of his struggles. While he has a choice to live in defeat as he deals with all the tragedy in his life, he's chosen hope. And what feeds his hopeful outlook is certainly his faith in God, but also his relationship with others. I find it to be a blessing that in the midst of tragic circumstances, the people of God have the people of God. They have relationship with the people of God to share in those struggles. Our hope is stoked when we consider the salvation of God and his vision for the kingdom rather than focusing on our selfish desires and agendas. That is to say that as the people of God, we have to be there for the people of God, not just think about my own things. Paul writes to the church in Rome, Romans chapter 13, he says, besides this, you know what time it is. It is now the moment for you to wake from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery or licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. While we wait for the payoff of God's salvation, we choose hope, and that hope compels us to give in the form of relationship to one another. We reject the temptation to revel in selfish gratification or fighting jealousy. We give. We give ourselves to God and we give ourselves to one another. We give ourselves clinging to a hope that is firm and that's real. And while we wait for hope actualized at the second coming of Christ, we reflect on the hope that made its entrance at the first coming, the birth of the Messiah, while also professing that as we live and breathe right now, that hope is here. Hope is real, and hope is here. So then every year during Advent, I would like us to be intentionally mindful of this season leading up to Christmas. So church, I want us to be mindful to slow down. The things we got to do, they'll get done. But we need to slow down. And even as a church, I know we got some events coming up. It's going to be some things that's going to cause some busyness. But even so, I hope that does not tempt us to rev it up, but to slow down. I want us to be mindful to give more presence instead of more presence. I think I'm learning in my time I'm spending in ministry that one of the most important gifts that we can give to one another is just being there. The toys and electronics, I mean, those are good too, but not as good as just presence. I want us to be mindful to spend more time and not more money. Last year, I think I challenged the church to take a percentage of what you spend during Christmas and to consider giving that in a form of a gift. And last year we supported Summer Raise, which is the sober living facility that our church has partnered with. I do a lot of work for. I speak there once a month, and several of our connection with that group has led to a ton of things. Just last week, I got a call from Chuck, who is the owner of the program, and he texts me and says, "Hey, do you do house calls?" I guess, and he let me know that one of his newest residents, who's a few months clean, that he allowed her to bring her dying mother home to one of the houses in hospice care. She's dying. And he asked if I could just go there and spend some time in prayer. And I went and just sat with this wonderful 80-year-old woman who herself has been sober for over 30 years and a breast cancer survivor for several years. And I went in there and I just grabbed her hand, to which she just looked at me with the brightest eyes and this wonderful smile. And she said, "You're really cold." It was cold that day. I'd just come in from outside. But I just spent some time with her and her daughter and the housemates, and we prayed. The more I spend time in ministry, I'm seeing that's becoming one of the greatest calls that we have, just to spend more time with people. And I want us to be mindful that hope is real. Hope is real. It's not fake. It's not just a concept or a theme that we just throw around because, you know, it sounds good or it gets everybody revved up. It's real. And because it's real, my prayer is that we embrace an understanding of what hope is and live hope, and so that we will always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. This Advent season, I would like us to be mindful. We lit a candle of hope. Next week, we'll do peace and then joy and then love. And I want us to be mindful of these bedrocks of the Christian faith. Hope, peace, joy, love. And these are themes, these are understandings that we choose. You see, over the past several months, we've been dealing with a lot of choices. Over the past several years, we've been dealing with the choices. You're either Team Pepsi or you're Team Coca-Cola. You're Team Edward or you're Team Jacob. Some of y'all old folks don't know what that means. They over there like, they know it's Twilight. We can either be Team Fear and Despair, or we can be Team Hope. We are people who have placed our hope in God. And this is a season for us to arouse our understanding of Christ. Christ is coming back, church. He might come back in the next few minutes. He might come back in 1,000 years. We don't know. But we wait. And there may be moments where we do feel the need to chant, Lord, come quickly. But even if you come quickly, while we're here, we choose hope. And let that be a defining theme of our narrative. Let's pray. God, you are a loving God, a kind God, a God who sees a better us even when we can't see it ourselves because we're too busy fighting with each other or too busy enraged or jealous or for our appetite for violence and injuring others who don't look like us or who don't agree with us, whether that's through physical violence or through violence of words. Father, our appetite for that is so high. God, we pray that you would forgive us. First off, forgive us when we succumb to that temptation to injure others we don't like or we disagree with or those who've done something to us. Forgive us of that. But as you wipe that slate clean, while you wipe our hearts clean of our addiction to violence or our addiction to injury, God, we pray that you would fill it with a hope that comes from you. Father, we want to be a part of the nations that come to that mountain to worship you, to receive instruction and to receive from you. We want to be a part of the nations that are turning our swords and our weapons into tools that help to foster communal living and sharing with each other. God, we pray that you would fill us with the hope of heaven. And we thank you that you came. We thank you that Jesus came one time to be the Messiah for the world. And we thank you that he's coming again to take us home. But in that space between birth and his return, while we wait, God, fill our hearts with a hope that prompts us when asked or when someone queries and says, why are you so hopeful? What is it? Father, that out of our heart, off of our lips, we will be able to share why it is that we have this great hope. And it starts with you being a great God, a loving God. Father, we pray that you would help us to slow down, to be more present, to spend more time with each other. And Father, to believe wholeheartedly that hope is real. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll sing this song. As we're singing this song, if there's anything that we can do for you as a church, prayer, if there's something you need to share with the body of Christ, if you want to share why you're so hopeful right now, that would be a wonderful message to share with the rest of the body. If you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, profess faith, be baptized, we can provide that ministry for you as well. So let's stand, let's sing.